Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, it is Friday night, and welcome inside to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are inside the Quicken Loans studios, and all of our guests are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. If perhaps you're a first-time listener, join us each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 Eastern Time, and you can connect with us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, and go back and listen to all of our amazing interviews at podcastarena.com. Click on the YSR tab. Okay, so the 2016 NFL Draft, it is now behind us, and in our first segment, we're going to take time to grade the Oakland Raiders draft class. Always a true pleasure to have back with us Oakland Raiders great Tom Flores. He knows this team, this organization inside and out. A little did you know, he was the Raiders' first starting quarterback in the Raiders' history. He was also the head coach from 1979 to 87, won two Super Bowls with the Raiders. Always so great to have Tom on our program at YSR. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, and I am excited to talk about your Raiders because high marks in this year's draft, and general manager Reggie McKenzie is on a roll. I mean, add seven new players to the roster, and it appears that they've added some quality playmakers. Tom, give us your analysis of this year's draft. Would you give it a thumbs up?
Well, yeah. I was actually in the draft room. I enjoy going up and sitting around in the draft room and yeah, watching all the process as it takes place, and the excitement in that room was overwhelming. They needed a defensive back like Joseph to replace Charles Woodson, obviously, and they seem to have gotten their guy, and they're just very quietly going about business, and they're staying the course. They had a plan, and this was their plan, and they stayed the course, and they're getting the certain quality of player that they want. And they certainly have improved.
You know, Tom, you got to be excited about how they continue, as you're saying, very quietly. They're upgrading certain areas, especially with their defense. But how long do you think it will take before these investments pay off and we can truly assess the Raiders' 2016 class?
Well, I think some of them will contribute right away. I don't think there's any question that their number one will contribute right away, and it'd be whether as a starter or coming in as a fifth defensive back. So that is a plus. Plus, last year's class contributed right away. And the year before, Derek Carr and Khalil Mack and Jackson, number one, two, and three, they all started that year. So the last year's number one started, Amari Cooper, contributed big time. So that's kind of an exciting thing to happen. This year, they picked 14th, so the quality was a little, not quite like the top four, but still. quite good.
Raiders legend Tom Flores is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We would love to hear from you. We are interactive. Join us at Twitter at @eRadioSports. And you had just mentioned Carl Joseph, the selection of him. Tell me, what has the game tape shown you? They're saying that he's comparable to Colts Pro Bowler Bob Sanders, that this is a guy that plays with a ton of intensity. Is that a fair comparison?
Well, that's what they're talking about, and that's the way he plays. I mean, he's, you know, he's a, the thing, he's about the same size, really. He's about 5'10", and not a huge guy as far as height goes, but he's 200 pounds. And if I remember right, we had a guy back that was about 5'10", 5'11", named Jack Tatum. Mm-hmm. That played at Rome center field pretty adequately. And Sanders, that game, Polamalu, those kind of safeties, that's what they're looking for, and it seems like that's what they got.
Well, head coach Jack Del Rio said that he loves his versatility, that he can play all levels of the Oakland Raiders defense.
Yeah, he doesn't have to come out. And, you know, he can play as a in the slot. He can play up tight to the line of scrimmage. He can has range in center field. So, you know, it's exciting. He'll be asked to, you know, they'll probably settle down and have him do certain things about, you know, not overextend, because given all the talent that he has, he still is a rookie, still has a learning curve.
You're listening to the voice of Tom Flores tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We know him well. Raiders legend. And you had just mentioned talking about the retirement of Charles Woodson. It's going to be very tough to fill those shoes. He had a terrific career. And the Raiders, do you think what they did within the draft, that they're going to be able to get that type of help and reinforcement?
Well, they're hoping so. Yeah, they're hoping so. Charles left a great legacy there with the Raiders. It was kind of neat to see him come back, if that's where he started. And he came back from Green Bay as a free agent. And no one really knew quite sure. They weren't quite sure how good he would still be. And he still was quality. He still made the Pro Bowl. He still made plays in spite of being hurt most of the season. And so his legacy will continue. That's what they're hoping to get out of Joseph.
We're doing a recap of the 2016 NFL Draft. Specifically, we are zeroing in on the Oakland Raiders. We're talking to a legend in Tom Flores. And just give me your takeaways on who do you think will have the biggest impact in the 2016 season as a rookie? Who's going to be that immediate difference maker, Tom?
Well, I think we're talking about that guy, Joseph. I think they're talking about him because he's going to be, I'm pretty sure, you know, and I can't make these decisions, but I'm pretty sure that they have him penciled in as a potential starter.
Uh-huh.
And he'll have an opportunity to make plays because the way they play their defense, with the safety being involved like Charles Woodson was last year and in the previous years. So he'll have that opportunity. So he should make the biggest impact. Now, there's always a sleeper. You know that.
Right,
there's always
right.
a sleeper involved, and we'll find out.
Well, let's step back and get your evaluation on the Raiders season in 2015. New head coach Jack Del Rio, do you believe that he is establishing a winning culture? It seems like they're proving that they can be competitive, they can win games. I mean, I think about that big win against the Broncos in December.
Well, one of the things that Jack did when he came back is he said, I've got to change the atmosphere around here, because the atmosphere, unfortunately, was not a good one. It was one that they were... Yeah, he felt that it was a little gloomy, and they were maybe accepting mediocrity a little too much or something. But he had to change everything. So they did, and Mark Davis backed him. Reggie McKenzie backed him. They built a brand-new field house. They put in new fields. They upgraded the facility. They upgraded their attitude. And now their attitude is good, and the team is you know, you walk around that campus,
mm-hmm.
and they're walking around with their heads up, and they're walking with a lot of bounce in their steps. Derek Carr being one of them.
And of course, the Oakland Raiders—they were 7-9 last season. Okay, you're the ultimate prognosticator, Tom. How much are they going to improve in 2016?
Well, I don't know how much. You know, it's hard to tell. You know, last year, going into the season, I said this team is probably a 500 team. Which means when I classify a team like that, it means they can be 8-8, 9-7, 7-9, you know, give or take, and that's what they were. This year they're better than that. Now, better than that, does it mean they can win 10 games? Better than that means they have a chance to make the playoffs, and I firmly believe that. You know?
What kind of growth did you see this past season from quarterback Derek Carr, his second full season?
Oh, I saw a lot of growth. As a rookie, he was trying to do too much and trying to do things that he wasn't really ready for, but he was trying to because that's his attitude. That's his goal. And last year, he improved a little bit more. He was very involved in everything, every phase, on and off the field. And so I think this year is the year that he will he made the Pro Bowl last year. I mean, so that's pretty mm-hmm. good sign that he was voted in the Pro Bowl. So I think this year he'll even get better. Now, how much better? A lot depends on how healthy they stay and whether they can protect him and whether they can run the ball as well. And they got a third down situation, red zone. Those are areas that they have to improve on to help the quarterback.
Tom, we certainly appreciate you carving out some time. What a great way to kick off our show tonight. Recapping the 2016 NFL Draft, specifically the Oakland Raiders. Have a wonderful weekend, and I promise we'll catch up again real soon before the season, okay?
Anytime. Talk to you soon.
Of
Bye.
Of course. Much more straight ahead right here in hour number one at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.
Listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell,
the Big E.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always a top priority in our program is to hoop it up and talk some NBA. That's right, the conversation does continue, and we are thrilled to have back with us inside the Quicken Loan Studios and on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. That is longtime NBA coach, currently the vice president of the Texas Legends, the NBA D League affiliate for the Dallas Mavericks, the great Dell Harris, always one of our favorites. How are you, Dell?
Well, doing all right. Thank you. I hope the same for you.
Absolutely. It's great to have you back on the program, hear your voice, and obviously a ton of ground to cover with the playoffs. But first and foremost, I want to talk about the Dallas Mavericks. All kinds of off-season rumors are circulating. What do you think, Dell, will be the Mavericks' priorities in the off-season?
They have many questions to be addressed and answered in some way or fashion, and the big thing would be, could they get some significant free agent or two or three to come? That certainly one significant one would be a great help, but they've not been able to land that type player the last two or three years, which has been the goal of the Mavericks in all these subsequent years, pretty much after the championship year of 2011. Otherwise, it's just making some decisions about re-signing players that are opting out of their contracts, such as Chandler Parsons and Deron Williams and even Dirk Nowitzki. So one has to evaluate the amount of money involved in the process and the health and prospective health situations of all those particular players. So it's a tough call this year, and they've got a lot of things, a lot of, you know, plates in the air, and they can't afford to drop very many of them.
The Dallas Mavericks finished 42-40, and you're right. I mean, they do need to land a top free agent to go along with that core if they all do stay in place with Dirk Nowitzki, Chandler Parsons, also Wesley Matthews. You know, we're here in Houston. I mean, should Dallas make a run at Dwight Howard? Should he be a top priority? I mean, I've got to point out, I mean, Rick Carlisle has done an amazing job of maximizing players.
He has, and you know, there are varying opinions on Dwight Howard. Obviously, his name has surfaced here in Dallas, and the feelings among the populace here, Mavs faithful, is split 50-50. And again, his overall effectiveness, his lack of a low post game at this point in a career, and the just various issues that surround Dwight have caused questions both in Dallas and in Houston and around the league. So, and then it becomes a matter of dollars. Certainly he would be a good addition to any team in terms of his rebounding ability and so forth, but how much a team is willing to pay for that and maybe not get an all-around player that those kinds of dollars would signify is, you know, an answer that the top brass in any organization has to, you know, figure on and make a decision.
You're listening to the voice of the vice president of the Texas Legends, former NBA head coach with the Houston Rockets, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Los Angeles Lakers. We're talking about Del Harris, and we've got to analyze the Mavericks roster and high praise for Justin Anderson. I mean, he had a tremendous rookie season. How much do you think the Mavericks' future revolves around him? He really shined when he was called upon, especially as a starter.
Well, I really don't see him being any more than just a role player, basically. Regardless of having done reasonably well at the end of the season, we had him at the D-League, and we tried to convince him at that point that the way for him to get more minutes was to show better defense and rebounding. He would come up to us and take 20 shots or more and make four or five and get one or two, no more than three rebounds, and not guard anybody. So when he finally did get some playing time at the end, that's what he did for the Mavericks, and he showed that he can be an energy player. But he would have to become a much better shooter and just an all-around player. He's a kind of an in-betweener right now. And so I don't think they can count on him as being, you know, a franchise piece. But he is an NBA player, and he can be on a good team. But I wouldn't try to build a team around him. Sorry to, you know, give that report, but that's my opinion.
Right. Well, Justin Anderson, I mean, obviously he's a very athletically gifted player, but if you were working with him one-on-one, you would tell him he needs to focus on what in the off season?
His total game, but shooting is something that he just has to get better at, and he did get better at it during the season. He was a non-shooter when he arrived, and he got to where he, you know, got better.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he really needs a lot of work, I think. And, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about, you know, this was a crazy thing that Cleveland did. And I was looking at that game because they make 25 threes.
They were lighting it up.
And they were 19th in the league during the season in attempts,
right,
and only 9th in percentage. And they were going against Atlanta, who actually is a three-point shooting team. They were 6th in the league in field goal three-point defense. They were first in overall field goal percentage defense, and they were 7th themselves in attempts. So they were a three-point shooting team. Cleveland wasn't. They were a three-point defending team and let Cleveland set a record for three-point percentage. I mean, it was an anomaly. I don't know. I just thought I was astounded you know, J.R. Smith putting on an imitation of Steph Curry now that Steph's out.
Got to wrap it up, Dell. Always a pleasure. Have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to catching up with you in the month of June, and we'll be breaking it down who's going to be in the finals, okay?
All right. Okay. Good luck.
Absolutely. Thanks. Much more straight ahead right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, and go to our podcast page at podcastarena.com. We will be right back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway, all of our wonderful listeners, you guys challenged us for a better mobile app, and we delivered. We responded with the all-new Yahoo Sports Radio app, available now for your iOS or Android device. Just search Yahoo Sports Radio in Google Play or the App Store and download the new app from Gao Media. You can stream us live on the go or listen to the podcast at your convenience, all from one app. And perhaps you don't have an iOS or Android device, no worries. You can listen on most smart devices by going to streamysr.com. Internet connection is required, and normal data rates apply. Of course, we are here in Houston. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, and all of our guests tonight are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. I'm very excited to introduce our next guest, Adam Grossman. He is the president and founder of Block 6 Analytics, analytics-fueled technology that enables companies to maximize on their sports sponsorships. Adam is a leading expert in sports sponsorships and analytics. He is also a lecturer at Northwestern University Masters of Sports Administration program and also the co-author of The Sports Strategist, Developing Leaders for High Performance Industry. It's a long open, but it's worth it. Good evening, Adam.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's definitely a lot to get out. And, you know, obviously taking a long time to get to that point, but it's good that you got everything in the introduction.
Well, we are delighted to have you back with us, and we want to get your take on a number of subjects. But, Adam, first, let's highlight the recent article that you wrote on your Cubbies and Wrigley Field, Wrigley Field's role in transforming the Cubs brand into a winner. And obviously, the expectations are high this season. They are delivering. They've got over 20 wins already so far. They are no longer the longtime lovable losers. They have changed, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I started writing this chapter, it was right before the it was before last season when they started to change their on-field performance. But one of the things that's interesting about this chapter, and one of the things that drew my interest, is the Cubs have made a very long-term plan and a long-term plan and a commitment to building the team into a winner, despite the fact that they had one of the most interesting positions in the sports industry. We talk about this a little bit in The Sports Strategist, but the Cubs, you mentioned before about the lovable loser brand. The Cubs had spent decades not necessarily cultivating the lovable loser brand, but that was certainly what people identified the team with. And we talk about lovable losers. It essentially means that the team and its fans and the media and sponsors, they would like the Cubs regardless of the team's on-field performance. And what we found actually in doing some of the research is that attendance and television ratings actually did sometimes go up slightly when the team was losing. And it's because the people, when you're talking about fans or media or sponsors or any of the audiences that are involved with the Cubs, you know, they had created an atmosphere where if you've ever been to Wrigley Field, you know, you come, you see the, you're greeted by a huge red marquee, an iconic marquee that describes who's playing and who's pitching. You can enter the stadium. You can have the smells of a Chicago-style hot dog, old-style beers flow throughout the stadium. Mm-hmm. The seventh-inning stretch that was started by Harry Carey singing the Take Me Out to the Ball Game and now sung by different celebrities. So the Cubs ensured that you were going to have a great experience no matter what. No matter how the team was performing. And this is something that had been a part of the Cubs' DNA ever since since the 1920s and 1930s. And to evolve into when the current Ricketts family bought the team, and they made a strategic decision to move away from that branding, even though it really is a unique position and a way to make sure that the Cubs could generate revenue on a consistent basis and also make sure that fans kept coming to the stadium. And what you saw over time is that one of the reasons that they chose to make the decision is, one, that they were tired of losing, but also that brand positioning had run its course with its fans. What we talk about in the chapter is, you know, the fans had gotten fed up with the Cubs losing, and the Cubs had, in the 2000s, had experienced success. You know, everybody knows about the Steve Bartman when they almost made the World Series, but even outside of that, in 2008, 2007, in 2000, even up through 2010, they were a competitive team on the field where they were winning division championships. And so the fans' expectations had changed. So the ownership group both wanted the team to be the winner, but also the fans wanted the team to be a winner as well. And the commitment to hiring Theo Epstein and the commitment to working with eventually hiring Joe Maddon and the commitment to the farm system to develop all these players that are now becoming stars that are leading the Major League Baseball right now. They put they've gone through a very long process that I think fans of various different cities who have tried to attempt the same process have not been as successful. So seeing where they were and seeing where they've come has been really interesting.
The president and founder of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman, is back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And, you know, I was thinking back to one of our earlier conversations about your book, Sports Strategist. I mean, you pointed out in that book that you can't rely on winning to define your brand. You talked about that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can't be one of the things that comes up when we talk about this is you can't necessarily be defined. And this is interesting in the context of the Cubs. One of the things that we talk about is you can't be defined by winning, but you also don't necessarily want to be defined by losing. You know, the Cubs brand, even with the lovable losers, one of the things that they made a change was is that they didn't want to be defined by their losing. They still want to be lovable, and even their brand position now is the lovable winners. But I think that you want to focus on the emphasis on lovable and not necessarily winning or losing. And the idea being defined as your audiences, you know, whether it's your fans, your media, your sponsors, they're going to have a good experience that benefits and touches on what they find to be important. You know, fans, it could be having a really great experience at the ballpark. For the media, you know, it's really giving, really providing a product that's going to drive ratings and drive engagement by, you know, having compelling content. And for sponsors, it's really helping their brands, helping the sponsors generate revenue and meet their marketing goals. And the idea of teams positioning themselves to be better businesses also makes them more engaging to their core audiences. You know, if you're thinking about Apple as a business doesn't define itself solely by one product, even though a big portion of its revenue and profits come from the iPhone. It's this whole ecosystem that they've built around. And it's not just the products. It's the products. It's the marketing. It's the people. It's the technology. Having an infrastructure in place that resonates with everybody who's going to be involved with who's going to engage with the Apple brand in some form.
Adam Grossman is a leading expert in sports sponsorships and analytics. He is the president and founder of Block 6 Analytics. We're so delighted to have him with us tonight. And so as we break it down, we've already highlighted talking about the Cubs. I mean, overall, what are the keys to developing an effective brand?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And one of the things that we talk about in the new Cubs chapter is, you know, you want to start with understanding what your what we call our brand identity model. So what our brand identity model looks at is, you know, we have basically three levels of a brand. You start with your core identity, you start with your brand essence. So with the, you know, Disney is a really good example. When you think of Disney, what are the one or two words that really come to mind? And Disney, that would probably be magic, right? When you think of Disney, everything around Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, it's built off this idea of everything is magic. Everything is, you know, fantastical to a certain degree. And then you can build around your core identity. And what are the essential elements that you want your different audiences to understand? And to be clear, audiences oftentimes when you're talking about businesses, usually people think, oh, what are my customers going to think? But you can't think of it just in terms of your customers. They're a very important audience, but they're certainly not the only audience. When you're talking about businesses, whether it's Disney or Apple or otherwise, you know, you're thinking about your employees, you're thinking about the media, you're thinking about shareholders, you're thinking about all these different people who are engaging with your brand at any different time, and having a consistent brand message that resonates so people know, okay, when I think of, you know, when I think of Apple, I think of either probably innovation or creativity. And what's the core identity? Well, the core identity is they've created, you know, they use a simplicity in design, simplicity of designing their products, not just in terms of, you know, here are products that are easy to use, but here are products that anybody can understand. And from that, so we start, you know, we have a brand essence, we have our core identity, and then we talk about our brand as extensions. And those can be brand as product, brand as symbol, brand as person. And if you talk about those in the context, or brand as place is another good example. If we talk about it in the context of the Cubs, you know, one of the things that with the level losers brand is that the brand as people tended to be more around celebrities who were associated with the Cubs rather than the players of the Cubs. You know, when you think of the New York Yankees, you probably think of, you know, Ruth, Mantle, DiMaggio, even Derek Jeter, as like these are the players that define the brand. The Cubs definitely have Hall of Fame players and players who are iconic players, Ernie Banks being Mr. Cub, probably being the most famous example.
Right.
But they're probably more famous people are, you know, Harry Carey or Will Ferrell or Bill Murray or even, you know, Secretary of State Clinton. You know, these are these people who have identified with as Cubs fans or Cubs announcers. And what has changed is that the Cubs as person has changed. So, the executives, Theo Epstein is obviously somebody who's very well known in the industry. Hiring Joe Madden is somebody who's very well known. Developing players like Chris Bryant or, Kyle Schwarber before he got injured, or even Jake Arrieta or Jonathan Lester. The people who actually perform on the field have become the most visible symbols of the brand.
The president and founder of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman, is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be rejoined with Adam. Much more to get into right after this quick timeout.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
We are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, and you can go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com, podcastarena.com. Click on the YSR tab. We are having a compelling conversation with the president and founder of Block 6 Analytics. That, of course, is Adam Grossman. He is a leading expert in sports sponsorships and analytics. And one of the things that we want to carve out some time and talk about this, Adam, is what businesses can learn from sports analytics? How can they help them?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And one of the things that people would normally say is that actually sports have learned a lot from businesses. Analytical concepts in terms of evaluating performance or evaluating different pricing is something that originally derived from other industries. For example, dynamic ticket pricing in the sports industry really came from, there's been dynamic ticket pricing, probably the most the example that people know the best is airline pricing, right? Tickets
right,
for
right.
airlines. Airline tickets vary over time, so why can't we apply that to sports? But one of the things that I think is really interesting about it that has started with sports and I think can go into the business area is this idea of winning above replacement, or a metric that we developed at Block 6 Analytics called revenue above replacement. And one of the things I think that gets short shifted in business is that decisions about hiring can be made in a vacuum, or saying that, a CEO is worth X amount of dollars because of the value he's generating for the organization. And whether the CEO, whether it's a man or a woman, is generating value, it's certainly something to look at, but you have to compare that to somebody else, right? What baseball has done in the core metric is called wins above replacement. So in baseball, a replacement level player, so basically what they're comparing is a current player compared to a replacement level player. Mm-hmm. What a replacement level player means is who could we just plug in basically from on the street at any point, and how would he perform on a team? So think of that as like a AAA level player in baseball. You can always go to AAA and plug in a AAA caliber player into a Major
right.
League Baseball. So how does a player compare? Because, right, you're not making decisions necessarily in a vacuum. You're comparing it to who else is available. And the idea, and we've done that from a business concept. So we've compared not just how their performance on the field, but when you're talking about revenue above replacement, it is how does a player's on-field and off-field performance contribute to a team's top-line revenue, so how much money it makes throughout the course of the season. And individual players will have different impacts depending on the teams that they go to. The idea here from a business perspective is you shouldn't be comparing individual employees in a vacuum. Who else can you get, and how can you determine their performance over time? And one of the things that that's really been helpful from that perspective is that baseball really has been focused on collecting numbers and collecting data for a really long time. And businesses, when you talk about analytics and big data, well, sports was the home of big data for a lot longer than big data has had as big of a role in the business arena today. So one of the key strategic focuses, if you talk to any CEO today, is how do we analyze big data? Well, again, sports were already on the forefront of how you analyze big data in terms of actually collecting data. So the idea of collecting data and any kind of performance metrics so you can make better decisions is a way that, probably you could argue has started more with sports and now has infiltrated with business. But, they're very, like I described, is there something that business were doing that have now come over to the sports side, and there's something that sports have done that have now come over to the business side. And one of the other things that businesses really need to look at is sports teams, if nothing else, are really good at developing brand awareness. People know who the sports teams are in particular cities. They know, who the baseball team is, or who the basketball team is, or who the NFL team is. Businesses could definitely learn, particularly from a marketing and an engagement, particularly if you're talking about individual customer engagement, on what mm-hmm. sports teams have done. And that's not necessarily using analytics, although you can definitely use analytical concepts. But the idea of creating brand awareness, being able to resonate and develop this affection and loyalty with a group of people who feel like they're bought into a, you know, your favorite, if you're talking about, for example, the Cleveland Browns, the city of Cleveland has bought wholeheartedly into the Cleveland Browns. And yet, you know, none of the individual people necessarily are owners of the Cleveland Browns. And that's to the credit of the Browns and to the credit of the NFL and credit of sports more generally, as they build this equity arrangement where people feel like they have an ownership piece in the brand or in the team, even though they literally have no ownership stake whatsoever.
Hey, Adam Grossman with us just a few more minutes at YSR, the Big East Sports Show, the president and founder of Block 6 Analytics. And obviously sports analytics, it is on fire. It is the rage right now. And I'm sure there's times you just step back and just the massive changes that have taken place, not in baseball, but straight across the board in all sports, all professional sports over the past 10 years. I mean, these guys are relying on it heavily.
Yeah, and I think you can even use a little bit, earlier in terms of the line of demarcation. When the book Moneyball came out, which really focused on basically the 2001 season, and the book came out in 2002, and from where that has been to where the sports is now, you know, basically nobody or very few people were using analytics. That's why the book Moneyball and the movie Moneyball exists, right, is that the Oakland A's were one of the first people to use it. And, you know, when you talk to GMs now, if they said, you know, if I knew about analytics 20 years ago, I would have, you know, I would have been the dominant GM in sports today, or a dominant sports general manager in 20 years ago, because it was such a, you know, it's made such an impact, and you can evaluate player performance in such a different way that it really is something that has revolutionized the game. And one of the things, and this is a little bit of an esoteric analogy, but you know, it's kind of like the difference between quantum physics and Newtonian physics. And I don't want to get too I don't want to lose too many of your audience with that.
Uh-huh.
But it's like Newtonian physics was basically based on, we can see certain things happening, and because we can see and test those things happening, you know, things have to occur in a certain way based off the laws of nature. And what Einstein and his essential insight is, some of the laws that we thought were laws, in particular the idea of time, is not what we think it is. And we have to really go at a more, you know, quantum level or an atomic level or the smallest level we can possibly go to understand big ideas. And that's really what's happened in sports, right? We've been able to drill more into how players actually perform on a more granular level because we have data. We have technology, you know, wearable technology is a really good example. But we can get more data than we ever could before.
Teams, organizations, always looking for that competitive advantage, always looking to succeed. And you break it all down, why we perhaps should believe in the numbers. The great Adam Grossman has been with us at YSR, the Big East Sports Show, the president and founder of Block 6 Analytics. Check out his stuff online. Adam, always a true pleasure. Great job in hour number one. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Much more straight ahead right here in hour number two. You stick around. MLB coming up next.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.